and that would come up later, but there's a reference in there to the solicitor drawing up the agreement, which has been past experience, tried and true. We did it with Fox Farm, the agreement that they came into, all of our subdivisions are through agreement drawn up by not only engineers, but solicitors. So there is an end-to-end process. It's just a question of getting to the solicitor first. And one of the things you'd asked about, and this is what precipitated a lot of this right now, the cost. And so what we had suggested was that the director of operations, with his experience, also engage the uses of an engineer to go out and cost estimate. This has been done before. It was done actually on Deerfield and Bay Drive years ago. We had a cost estimate. The township did the survey on those roads, free of charge to the ratepayers, and the whole township paid for it. And then he gave us a cost estimate, which we used per meter to all of the unassumed roads in the township. And we're even looking at a possible grant at that point to apply for that. So these things were done. And if you look at that resolution too, it's not only the solicitor that will draw up the agreement, which is more objective, and some of your ideas could be incorporated into that agreement. That's normally what happens. The people who are asking for this become part of it. But that it be done objectively. You're putting in a number of things in there that we've discussed before at our open meetings. You mentioned in January, this suddenly resurfacing. And I thought we'd made it clear. I mean, we talked for an hour and a half on the phone, if you remember. And I guess I didn't make it very clear because we're back to stage one. So I'm thinking what has to happen here is that you'd be a little more acceptable, I guess, that there is an end-to-end process depending upon what agreement comes through the solicitor. And that way we'll have something in place, a legal agreement, rather than working backwards and a situation, I'm not sure about Bailey so much, but certainly Craigmore, where we have, and Roshan can correct me on this, I'm not even sure, we don't even have a fees and charges bylaw at this point. And all that was supposed to have been done through a solicitor, never was. So what we're suggesting up front is that we do it the legal way, and then everybody signs that agreement. It's right in the resolution. Then we have the end-to-end process. There'll be amounts in there, times, everything.
I am not, sorry, are you finished?
No, probably not, but okay.
I am not debating the need to have an agreement produced and signed. At that point, when it is appropriate to have an agreement produced and signed. In this proposed approach, the step in which that's done is step five, right? After some of the preliminary work, and once the discussions have taken place, and once we agree upon a approach, and once we agree upon the timelines, and once we agree upon the costs, and once we agree upon all sorts of things that's identified in step five of the proposed approach, at that point in time, that's the appropriate time to engage legal counsel or to write it up ourselves. I don't really care who writes up the legal agreement, but I agree a legal agreement needs to exist and be signed on both sides to protect both the township of McKellar, but also to protect the ratepayers of the Manitowoc Peninsula Association, that they in fact are going to get what they had requested, and that the road assumption goal is going to be met at the end of it. So I just think until we agree on some of the other things, such as cost, such as approach, such as timeline, it's premature to bring the lawyers in at this stage, just as it's premature to bring an engineer at this stage, right? We have, on several occasions, had estimates done with regard to the upgrade process for our road. We started out, in fact, engaging private contractors to do the road upgrade within our subdivision, right? And after we had discussed that with McKellar staff and McKellar Council at the time, it in fact was McKellar's suggestion that instead of us going out to contract, right, our road, that we should perhaps be partnering with McKellar and doing the work together, right? And at that point in time, we then started getting McKellar to give us a quote. I remember Greg coming out and walking the road with us. I remember another time when Greg and Don and I think there was one other person on council also walked the road with us. And, you know, we pointed out the areas where we thought needed work, where there were going to be turnarounds, et cetera. And so we've gone from early estimates on our first indications with contractors of $130,000. Later on, we ended up with estimates in the $140,000 range, with McKellar doing the work. Most recently, at the last council meeting that I attended, I heard Greg say that even considering cost increases and even considering the more strict road bylaw, which had been in place or had come into place since we had last talked about numbers, $190,000 should cover it, right? And even if you put in a contingency, you know, we have a pretty good idea as to what it would cost in order to do this. And we actually have a lot of faith in Greg and his team in the McKellar Public Works Department. We have seen what he did, him and his team, and the work that they had done in Bailey's was, in my opinion, a very stellar job. They did it very cost effectively. They did it very efficiently. The end result was fabulous. I've seen Bailey's. The end result is fabulous. I've talked to Diane Thompson in the Craigmore subdivision and asked her opinions on the work that was done by the township of McKellar, and she too told me that the general consensus is that it was done well. We are anxiously looking forward to working with McKellar on leveraging Greg's expertise, and I already have, albeit verbal, a pretty good idea what it's going to cost at $190,000. I would just like to be able to sit down with McKellar staff and hash out these details and get that in writing. And I've been asking, frankly, for a year to have a request in writing, and that's why I'm starting to personally get a little bit frustrating, because it's just not moving along, right? There have been several resolutions of council directing McKellar staff to work with the MPA Association to work out an arrangement, a deal with regard to assuming the road, and we're still waiting. And we're trying to be patient. COVID came, we tried to be patient. Staff turnover came, we've tried to be patient. We would like to get this done. And I think personally it's premature to bring the lawyers in, because I think we, our association and township staff, need to sit down and work out the logistics about how it can be done. And then yes, by all means, let's document it.
Just to clarify, you talk about a figure that you're looking for, and that's, we want the same goal, I think. We want it to be an accurate figure. And that's why we're suggesting that not only Greg, but an engineer who's going to be coming in at the end anyway, do just what they did before, I don't know, it was a decade ago with Deerfield and Day, giving us a cost estimate at that point. And he worked for Fathers, I think, at the point too, and came in. And that would give us a more accurate figure, is what we're suggesting, to what the actual cost would be, rather than an add-on later, a contingency that you're saying, and a big surprise at that point.
I'm not opposed to a second opinion. I personally have a lot of faith in the numbers that Greg is putting forward. He's done it twice. He's done it recently. He's got local knowledge. I trust what it is that he's telling me. He's going to be pragmatic. I'm not opposed to getting a second opinion, so long as, A, it doesn't cost me a fortune to get that second opinion, because all these costs are going to get borne by us, and I'm not interested in a $10,000 opinion, which is just going to reiterate exactly what Greg's telling me. And B, I'm not interested in if it's going to slow this thing down by 5 or 6 months and it's not going to get done this year. So I'm not opposed in principle to the idea of getting another opinion. I don't personally feel that I need it. I trust Greg and his team. But if McKellar feels a need to get that second opinion, I'm not going to fight you on that.
Well, it's not a matter of just, you know, when you say McKellar, I mean, it's all the ratepayers. To be responsible, what we have to do. It used to be MTO giving a subsidy for these roads, and then MTO would send in an engineer to come in and inspect the roads and tell our road superintendent at the point, yes, it's ready for assumption. The road superintendent didn't make the call. It was always the MTO engineer because they were giving a subsidy. Since then, of course, they're not giving the subsidy. So it's left up to the township now to provide that engineering expertise with the stamp on it. I'm not saying anything about Greg's expertise and what he's able to do, but for the responsibility for council itself, we need that extra. The same with, we just talked about the Hurtville Bridge earlier. There's no way that we're going to sit here and make calls on that without an engineering study. I mean, that has to be, that's a responsible approach. I mean, otherwise, you're liable for a lot of problems.
Yeah, we weren't asking for a subsidy.
No,
I didn't fully acknowledge that we're paying full freight on this.
No, I didn't say that. I said MTO used to provide a subsidy, is what I said. Councillor Rush.
My point, just for the record, having been on both Craigmore and Bailey's many times, is that the work that Greg and the Public Works guy did is absolutely world class. It was cost effective, it was efficient, and it worked. And for the record, especially for Bailey's, I don't have all the details for Craigmore, the original estimate that Greg provided actually decreased between the original estimate that was provided out to all the owners on the road, and then the final cost actually decreased, which demonstrates that what Greg does is entirely accurate, and he's done it now multiple times. In other words, I think we started out with $3,638 for Bailey's. I think that's the number. It doesn't matter what the final cost per unit was, $3,503.47 is, I think, what you said. And that's indicative. And it's not just about the cost. In truth, that's a big factor. But the biggest factor is that the road quality is great. I don't think, Greg, that any repairs or work on the Bailey's roads happened after the original, which proves that the work that was done the first time through was first class. That's my opinion. That's my understanding. And frankly, I don't see how you can beat it. And to my knowledge, last fall, am I right? No. When did you last go out with Ryan Manning from Tatum Engineering?
This time last year.
And he did an inspection at that time.
Yes.
So it has gone through a post, like after a winter season, has gone through a review with our engineers who commented that the road was satisfactory. You also went to Craigmore, is that right?
To all three.
All three.
Deerfield and...
Okay. So, I mean, I don't have a problem with getting an engineer, but I mean, if, and to Dave's point, I mean, I don't think that we should be delaying these things based upon the actual real-world experience that Greg brings to the equation and the fact that two of them have been done successfully and actually, you know, costs decreased over that period. So there's neither a cost issue nor an engineering issue. Greg knows what he's doing. And frankly, the comments that I hear from people who've heard of mothers here tonight, the work that you've done is world-class. That's my opinion.
Gary Jarrett, 6 Island View Drive, just point of clarification. Our understanding in the Bailey subdivision is that the process has been completed, the amount of money was set and paid,
mm-hmm.
and in my opinion, we're at step 16 of the proposed process, which is optional ribbon cutting and celebration. This is not open to new negotiations for solicitation to be involved, and lawyers' fees, etc. The fees and the amount of money was set. Our road superintendent did an admirable job, as aptly stated by many people here, again, reiterating that we're looking for the final step.
And reiterating that we'll investigate that further, yes, we agree.
Is that all you're committing to?
Yes.
Unbelievable.
Councillor Cutman. Yes.
Regarding the cost estimate for Bailey's and Craigmore, was that based on the RHH engineering report from August 23rd, 2019? So what was this? This one here gave a breakdown of the tonnage, culverts.
That's for a different road standard.
So this was the basis, though, because it was, instead of the original 4.5 meters, it was made a little bit wider. So, but this was the basis for the original cost estimate?
It was a basis, but it wasn't for that same standard.
Right. But this is, we had an engineer do the original cost estimate for those roads.
I assume that was directed toward me, Councillor, because I singled you out.
But in all fairness, we want other people to be able to speak as well.
Well,
is this a new point?
Did he not just
no, he didn't
direct a question at me? He looked right at me.
I don't know.
No, I wasn't directed. our committee.
All right, just
there was a discussion here about
a point of clarification. The costs were set by the municipality and paid by the constituents. It was final.
Yes.
So regardless of what the engineering report was premised on, that document was complete. The figure was sent to the Bailey subdivision constituents, and we paid the amount of money.
Okay. Thank you.
Phil Jeffkins, Bailey Subdivision. With respect to that document, as far as I'm concerned, as a layperson, that is not a report. That is simply an estimate of what it would cost to do those roads. It is to me, an engineering report is something that involves core samples and static testing and that sort of stuff. All of that document is showing us is what, how much, how many tons of gravel, how many inches of culvert, what each road is, it has, and it's an estimate. It's like if you ask the guy what's going to cost to paint my house, well, 3 gallons of paint and 6 hours. That's, to me, what that is. It's not a engineering report, as it seems to be.
This was an estimate that the...
It is an estimate.
The cost that was given to the taxpayers in Bailey's and Craigmore, so that there was a basis.
Yes.
So that's...
It's an estimate.
So I agree, yes.
Okay, thank you. I do want to say that part of the reason I'm here tonight and other neighbors in Bailey's is that we're here to support what the residents of Deerfield and Bay are up against. Simply put, the township approached our neighborhood and put forth a plan that in the end worked. The township committed to providing the labor for the project, and the property owners agreed to pay for the cost of materials, and with a mutually agreed upon payment plan. The township also committed to us that the road would become soon. And I want to reiterate, I don't want to see that part compromised tonight. These roads are not being built, they're being upgraded. The work was performed quickly, efficiently, and to the required township standard by the dedicated and hardworking crew under the direction of our road superintendent. They know what they're doing. They obviously do. To ask a subdivision of ratepayers to be solely responsible for the task of upgrading their roads is a huge task. The township already has the resources in place to facilitate a project and should be working with the ratepayers to see this to an end. I'm not just talking about money, but availability and connections for materials required, sand, gravel, culverts. I can't just go buy a dump truck load of gravel, but it's gonna cost a lot more than a live bottom carrier that's gonna come here with all their gravel. You have the equipment and you have the know-how. I understand you look at the bottom line and you wanna do your due diligence, but remember, our population is growing. People are investing in this township. Look at the amount of construction. Look at the revenues from building permits and projected property values. All increasing and will result in a larger tax base. As well, aging in place is happening. This population requires a level of service. Whether you want to go get groceries, whether you want a delivery to your door, access for home health care, or an emergency service. I'm not expecting asphalt roads, concrete curb and gutters. Just a system that is fair for everyone. Past practice has shown that the system has worked and it can work again. Thank you.
I'm Scott Buckingham, by Route 152. We actually have a Cottage Association, which doesn't get referenced all that much, so I'd like to reference it, the Managing Cottage Association. And we've been maintaining our road. I'm a glass half full kind of guy, so I'd like to reiterate the positives that I heard of today's meeting, and that Bailey's is all around a success, and that our roads department has done an excellent, stellar job in ensuring that it is a success. The work that is done by fellow associations as far as the process and so on, it just helps us lead the way and partner going forward on this very obviously hot topic, right? So we're eager also to move forward on this. We've got our own challenges, and we've got members here that have been dealing with this situation for decades. So it's one that we want to see resolved, obviously, with prudence, but also with an end game in mind, and just to see that step 16 happen very efficiently for us as well. Any questions?
Step 16, I think we all agree on it, like in front of me, but it's just a matter of how we get there. So.
The ribbon cutting.
No, not the ribbon cutting.
That's step 16.
That's
16.
Is that what that one is?
I thought it was something. Yeah. Okay. In other words, it's the end of the project.
We don't need the ribbon cutting, though. Councilor Zulai.
Just regarding the Baileys. As far as I can see, the only thing that we're looking forward now to is having an engineer give the final agreement that road meets the standards, and then we're 2-year ribbon cutting.
Yes.
But Bailey's, to me, is okay, you've signed, you've paid, that's done, we're just doing the final steps, hopefully we'll get it done in May. But now we're on to Deerfield, which is a different kettle, because there's people on the Keller Lake Road that had their roads brought up to standards. And the township put in 15% towards that to have it done. Now in this resolution here that is being tabled, it says that the township is trying to work with you. If you read the resolution, they're agreeing to pay for the legal fees, they're agreeing to pay for the engineer, which you said you didn't want, you know, to have an extra engineer's cost there. They're agreeing to pay for the engineer for that, and also to put an RFP out there to for contractors to put in a cost. So I think the township really is trying to work with you to get this stuff done. And when you get the legal document, as Dave has said, that is going to be a step-by-step process. So this is a beginning to start with. And I actually think this will take a lot less time than in the one that you put forward here, because it's saying 5 weeks, 8 weeks, 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And I think you need to have council, talking with council and staff, not just staff. You have to be talking with council. So you're getting everything and you have a paper trail of what's going on and what's to happen. And I think before it was a big can of worms, and hopefully it will be rectified. And as far as I can see myself, I can't speak for all of council, but I believe Bailey's will be. As far as I can see, I think it's just the part of having it, the engineer give the final okay, that it's good to go. And if it isn't, then there has to be work done.
It can be a model.
The resolution is...
Sorry, just your name again, sir.
Sorry, Dave Spiegel, Manitowabing Peninsula Association, 10 Bay Drive.
Thank you.
The resolution as written did offer to solicit a solicitor. It did offer to solicit an engineer in order to provide an estimate. It did not offer to pay for those. In fact, it implied that the cost would actually eventually get recuperated by the proponents, which is fine. If it's a cost of the road, it has never been our intention to have the capitalization process of upgrading our road cost the taxpayers anything, right? But if we are going to be paying for the lawyers and we are going to be paying for the consultants, right, we need to be involved in the decision-making process. You cannot just put contracts out there knowing that you're not paying for them, knowing that somebody else is going to be in, you know, paying the bill at the end of the day without involving us in the approach and the timeline and everything else. And so that's what we've been asking. We've been asking to be able to sit down with McKellar, to be able to have the conversation so that we can, in fact, have these discussions. When you're saying that McKellar is offering to put out a tender, you are immediately jumping to the conclusion that this upgrade is going to be done by external contract resources. We haven't Where is the discussion that allows us to have a partnering kind of conversation with McKellar to see whether or not we can come to an arrangement whereby McKellar, as they had done successfully for Bailey's, as they had done successfully for Craigmore, could work with us in the same way, partnering so that McKellar knows exactly what they're getting at the end. If we go out and we contract this work, a contractor's going to come in, they care about profit, they care about the bottom line, they're going to cut every last corner that they can in order to meet the minimum standards that they can get away with and still get paid at the end of the day, right? Repay through the nose, McKellar gets delivered a substandard road because the contractor is doing the minimum that they have to, and then the assumption process either gets delayed, right, or McKellar is on the hook for things because of shoddy work by the contract. By having Greg and his team do the work, which is our preference, right, you guys know exactly what you get. When you assume that road, if there's something wrong, you know all the history behind it. You dug up that spot and dug out the clay and decided, okay, I think we got enough, and then 2 years later you find out you didn't quite dig out enough clay and there's a little bit of a dip in the road there, but you know exactly how much you took out. Right? You know all the background. It is far more efficient for Greg and his team to maintain that road on an ongoing basis if he was the one who built it in the first place. That is our preference. It is not our preference to simply contract this out. And that's the discussion we would like to have. The resolution, as I read it, did not come across like that. It came across as this is the way McKellar wants to do it, and we'll help administratively facilitate these things, but this is the approach. We are putting forward a partnering approach. We would very much like to discuss that with McKellar Council and staff.
Any other comments from the public?
I didn't want to take up too much time, if anyone else. One of the things, I did send out a deck earlier today, and it talked about some of the reasons you would want to assume a road, right? And since no one else is taking the mic, I'm going to take a minute to go through a couple of ones that I think are more salient. I'm not going to go through the whole deck, don't worry. Why assume a road? Public safety, to me, is one of the big things, because if we have a road that is built to a better standard, right, we have increased public safety, and everybody wants that, right? More efficient emergency response. I heard Mr. Jarrett there talk about, or maybe it was Phil. It was Phil talking about an aging population. We have a population here which is really aging, and the ability to get fire and ambulance into these places is paramount, and that's why we need to assume the roads. That's why we need to get them up to a higher standard. Fairness. Consistency and fairness of services to ratepayers in the township. We pay the same mail rate as everybody else in this township. Some roads get their, or some ratepayers have full road maintenance that is included in their tax benefits. We do not. We have been collecting as association dues for the last 60 years. We have been maintaining our own roads, it is becoming increasingly difficult to find volunteers, right, who are prepared to put in the time in order to find the contractors and to oversee the work and to make all those arrangements. We would like the same level of service as most other ratepayers in this township, and that's where the whole fairness bit comes. There are other things I would... I don't want to take up too much time, but these are certainly a couple of the additional points that I didn't mention the first time around that I think are very important for township to understand. We do understand that there is going to be some pushback, right, with the concept of McKellar doing the road. There are going to be people in this township who will look at the situation and go, why should my tax dollars be used to upgrade somebody else's road? right? We don't look at it that way. We're not looking to let or to utilize the services of Greg's staff to the point where McKellar now has to contract out other work because they don't have enough cycles left because they're doing work on our road when they should be doing their other work. We are looking to leverage spare cycles that exist within the hills and valleys of the whole workflow process, as was done in Bailey's and Craigmore. The fall is typically one of those lulls when there's, you know, less to do for the public work staff. We are not suggesting that this cost other ratepayers in McKellar anything, that we are simply leveraging otherwise unused cycles within the public works department to partner with us in order to build a road that they know exactly what they're getting. And so when people go to you and say, it's not fair that my tax dollars are going to improve that road for Assumption, we had to do it on our own, right? You can come up with an answer like that. This did not cost McKellar anything incremental. There were spare cycles, and we simply scheduled those spare cycles in order to apply them to this initiative that's in the public good for McKellar. So we realize there's going to be some voices in the township. We would like to have those conversations with you so that when you hear those things, that we collectively are on the same page so that you can communicate with them and we'll communicate the same message. We'll never go, aha, did you see what we were able to do? You know, we were able to get blah, blah, blah. No, our message will be the same. We were leveraging spare cycles from public works for the benefit of the township, so the township collectively has better roads to the benefit of the township. So we need to be on the same page. This really can and should be a partner in arrangement if you allow it to be. So that's it. I won't have it.
Gary Jarrett, Six Island View Drive, you probably know me by now. Mr. and Mrs. Gibson, who reside in the Bailey subdivision, brought forward a question that I'd like to ask of council. We were given a figure, we paid the figure to bring the road up to a standard. Why is the grader stopping at the end of Holly's Road and not now continuing down into our subdivision to maintain the road? Why has that happened? What has changed that the road has now been brought up to what was described to us as the standard that was acceptable? The fee was given to us to pay, and now the grader is still stopping at the end of Holly's and not providing service to us. Does that accurately ask your question?
That was the email I sent to Greg yesterday and didn't get a response.
Thank you. So that was posed already. Thank you for that.
Okay. Sure. Greg wants to respond, or it's up to you.
I think
we're not aware of this. So.
Yeah. As you can see today, it's pretty obvious it's not assumed.
Right? Wow.
Well, it's true. What else is there?
Well, we paid the money.
Yeah.
Well, that is true. There's no assumption by the township yet, so he's out.
So this is May. We have to remember, this is May. Your road is not assumed yet. Your road is under resolution to be plowed in the wintertime. That's it. After May, things change. So we have to be patient. That's
after
why.
May?
Well,
no, he said after May. No.
That's what he said.
That's what I said. Is that what your agreement says?
Wow.
Thank you.
Says May.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's that easy.
That's what we're saying. Why?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Assume the road.
One thing that, again, for the responsibility of council on behalf of all ratepayers, and it's interesting, some of the comments you're saying we're going to be receiving from other people, which may or may not happen, but. As I sit here, certainly I'm not willing, I've seen it happen too often in the past, to move on to future people into these roads. Somebody talked about other people coming in and everything building up, etc. And I'm not willing to pass on a substandard road to those people because then it's just pushed on down the road. So we want to make sure it is to a certain standard. There is a standard that's now in the road policy. whether that stays or not, that's up to council to work with. I know it's quite acrimonious coming up with those regulations, but going forward, certainly that's what's in the policy right now that an engineer would be looking at. And if those are the standards, I think council would have to be convinced that it's good for future populations to go with a lesser standard, because I think we're just pushing the problem down the road if we do that. And that's why you have many subdivisions probably that aren't up to a standard. Way back in the 50s and 60s when they were put in, they didn't meet the standard back then from the developer. The developer walked away. People bought the properties quite often assuming that it was going to be assumed by the township, and it never was. So as we sit here, certainly, I'm not willing to pass on a substandard road to future councils and to future people in those subdivisions. So we want to make sure that there are standards that can be upheld and that it can withstand future growth in those areas. We don't want a road that is insufficient in width for the larger vehicles that come along, and people get larger buildings, etc. We want to make sure that those roads can accommodate those people. So that's what we're aiming for. Anything else for our committee of the whole?
I don't know whether or not anyone on Zoom has a question.
Oh, it might be, yes. We haven't done this for a while, so we just got to put it back up again. Good question.
There's a hand up there.
Good. See anything, Dan?
I don't see anything, no. Just as a point of information,
I would like to point out there's 32 people on this Zoom call, or another 30 plus people in this room. I do not recall another council meeting, even the planning bylaw issue, which generated an awful lot of buzz, did not generate this much discussion. It is clear there is an awful lot of interest with the road assumption issue within this township. Some of the people in this room are from our subdivision. Some of them are from Bailey. Some of them are from Craigmore. Some of them are from 152. Some of them are from Fire Route 300. And some of them may you know, are maybe here from other places. But this is clearly an important issue that over 60 people are taking time out of their day, wanting to make sure that McKellar does the right thing. And I just wanted to remind council that this is obviously very important and is something that needs the appropriate amount of attention going forward. We look forward to working with you.
I appreciate that, but just going back in history, I think we were probably here, whether you're part of it. We had 200 people in the community center with the Wide Ridge development proposal. So the where are the large crowds? Not very often.
This is pretty good, though.
Well, this is good. Yeah.
Scott Buckingham, Manitou Cottage Association. One more time, and again, in the vein of positiveness, etc. This subject came up at council meeting January 10th, and there were seven speakers on this topic. One was opposed to the general consensus that's here today, and I haven't heard one negative against what has been spoken about here tonight. So I think, as a whole...
Sorry, can I ask a question?
Sure.
Have your name, please?
Can I ask a question? My name's Jillian Haig, McKellar. Is that council's official response to the 62 people that are here, that there are 200 in a different discussion? So are we...
No. I just said there was a time when 200 came out. That was just a different situation.
Yeah, I heard what you said, but you didn't respond to the fact that we're all here interested in what you have to say about the road assumptions.
Oh, sorry, guys. So again, it's acknowledged, yes.
So again, to summarize, we've got all of these people here in a positive way endorsing and supporting the excellent work that has been done in Bailey's and Craigmore. And we just want to fulfill the same, positive outlook for our roads as well. Thank you.
23-314, moved by Councilor Kekanen, sent to Councilor Zulak. The resolved Council of the Corporation of the Township of McCullough does hereby rise and report from the Committee of the Whole at
8:25
p.m. Call the question. All those in favor? Resolution 12A1. So it's resolution 23-315. Moved by Councilor Kekanen, second by Councilor Zulak. Whereas the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is desirous of upgrading all municipally owned unassumed roads with the ultimate goal of assumption of said roads during this term of council. And whereas bylaw number 2022-24, being a bylaw to set minimum standards for the construction of new roads, for the upgrading and maintenance of existing municipal roads in the Township of McKellar, was given third reading and enacted on September 28, 2022. And whereas bylaw number 2022-24 states in part that the standards herein are to be regarded as the minimum requirements for construction acceptable to the Township for consideration when the Township is assuming the operation and maintenance of roads for the purpose of creating publicly maintained Township roads, end quote. And whereas the attached Schedule 8 of bylaw number 2022-24, titled Township of McKellar Roads Policy, Construction and Maintenance Guidelines, outlines cost-sharing options for upgrading municipally owned unassumed roads that include at least two possible procedures, and whereas Council had its sole discretion to make an exception to the policy described within Schedule 8, which is to offer a hybrid solution to satisfy a cost-sharing option, and whereas a directive is required for a course of action moving forward with the goal of achieving these objectives, with the acknowledgement that Council has the authority of final approval. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar instruct the Director of Operations to procure the services of a qualified Council-approved engineer who will assist him in arriving at a cost estimate for upgrading the municipally owned unassumed roads known as Deerfield Roads and Bay Drive, so that said roads would satisfy the minimum Class 6 standards for assumption as outlined in Schedule 8, Bylaw Number 2022-24. And further be it resolved that A, the Director of Operations in cooperation with the Clerk Administrator or Designate and the Treasurer be instructed to procure the services of a qualified Council-approved solicitor who will prepare a legal agreement wherein the parties to the agreement, namely those landowners who front on, abut, or access the respective roads, namely Deerfield Road and Bay Drive and the Township of McKellar, will be signatories to all cost-sharing and contractual details, time frame, responsibilities, liabilities, maintenance, and all other such requirements relative to the upgrading and eventual adoption of said roads. B, said legal agreement must be signed by all requisite signatories prior to any contractor commencing work on said roads. C, the township shall prepare, let, receive, and otherwise administer the requisite tender documents, including potential approval of the tender. D, all costs associated with the procurement of the said engineer and solicitor, and for the preparation and administration of the tender documents and process, shall be paid up front by the township with the understanding that said costs will form part of the future cost-sharing agreement as agreed upon between the landowners and the township. And E, Schedule A to Bylaw Number 2022-24 shall continue to constitute the reference guide throughout the upgrading process and beyond. And finally, be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar instruct staff to implement this approach as a template moving forward with the landowners who front on, abut, or access the other municipally owned unassumed roads, namely Fire Route 152, Fire Route 152A, Fire Route 152B, and Moffat Road, as time and costs permit. Discussion? Councillor Ryan.
As was pointed out by Dave Spiegel earlier today, this has
speak
all kinds
up
of...
there.
Sorry?
Speak up. Could you speak up? Because
okay,
we're still
sorry
on Zoom.
Okay, yeah. I think that's on. Okay, sorry. As mentioned by Dave Spiegel in his conversations earlier, the resolution as it stands assumes a number of things, including that we will not use township staff to do the road upgrades, and it assumes that a whole number of things that fundamentally I don't agree with. I believe that the bylaw that was passed is fatally flawed as it stands. And as it was pointed out by our legal counsel, and as it was pointed out by the township engineers, by Tatum, by name, there are a number of things. I have copies here in those things that clearly reference updates to that document are required, right? They are simply factually incorrect.
In the bylaw?
In the bylaw.
Okay, I haven't seen any of that. I don't know where you're getting this.
Okay. Well, I can go through them if you want, but
yes.
I mean...
You should, yes. Go ahead.
Okay. I would propose, quite frankly, given the depth of feeling that you've seen tonight, that we hold a special meeting of council. Well, here, let me start at the beginning. I would propose that we defer this resolution until we can have a special meeting of council simply to deal with the various roads issues and to come to some conclusions about the next steps that are required. I can go through them. Amongst the many things that are mentioned in there that are fundamentally wrong is we constantly refer to the local improvement charges as the means to collect them, and legal counsel Jennifer Bigger by name was quite explicit about that and said that absolutely that's the worst choice we can make. Those aren't her words, but that's...
No, those aren't her words, so
okay.
Be careful.
Okay, they aren't her words per se, but that's the point, is that fees and charges is by far the most preferred method to do it and offers the most flexibility. That's just one example of the many things that are wrong with the policy as it's written.
And what is wrong with the fees and charges? It's in the bylaw, I understand, as an option.
If you want me to, I'll get out the lawyer's letter and read it to you.
No, I've read the letter.
Okay.
She says fees and charges could
is
be used for... No, she didn't say it's preferred. And she does say for the private, it has to be Ontario Regulation 586.06 for the private roads. Do you agree with that?
Here, she also says in the letter that the way to deal with private roads is to have them converted to...
That's an option, she said. That not
okay. I'm saying no. Under no circumstances could we go ahead with an upgrade or assumption of a private road still remaining private. There's no doubt of that. But the way to go forward with that is to follow the same path that we do for Bailey's and Craigmore and others.
One option.
It is. There may be others too, I admit. But I mean...
That's what the solicitor said. That's an option.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't have a problem with that, but all I'm saying is that in this resolution, as stated, there are problems with it, including referring to a bylaw that is just fundamentally wrong.
Again, I need some evidence.
Okay.
You're saying what's wrong with the bylaw that previous council passed in a 3-2 vote. You happened to vote against it, yes,
yeah,
but council passed it. And my understanding of the code of conduct is that you can disagree with it, I suppose, but it's a council decision that was made, and you were on that council. So I'd like to know what was fundamentally wrong with what was passed by the previous council.
This is just one example.
Okay.
I mean, this is the Tatum letter. This is the table that we have. I don't know exactly what page, but it's a table, and you can see the strikeout and the additions that they have, simply because we got the facts wrong in the document. And I'm not critical of that. I'm simply saying, I mean, here, if you want, I'll show you the letter.
Well, I'm not sure where that came from.
This came from Tatum Engineering.
When? What date?
The date of it is September the 7th, 2022.
See, I've never seen that.
I understand that you weren't on council, but I have. And the same thing with the letter. You've seen the letter from Russell Christie.
Okay, so what are they saying is fundamentally wrong with the bylaw that was passed?
Well, with the standards that you were talking about, the standards that you alluded to earlier, the standards that are referred to in this resolution,
which are, as stated,
in other words, the bylaw is factually incorrect.
Such as?
Well, including the width of the road. In the Tatum Roads Needs Study, that document right there, which I also have here, the big one, this one, repeatedly says in this document that the width of all of our graveled roads, all the Class 6 roads, is sufficient as is and that no widening needs to be performed. It says it probably four or five times in this. I read through it last night. Again, I can go through and point them out. I didn't try and recap them all. I have them all highlighted in this document.
Can you also quote the other engineer who gave us a different standard?
Who's that?
RHH Engineering?
Hughes.
Okay. Notwithstanding that, this is the report that council received.
Well,
this
notwithstanding that, you're in a situation now, I think, and council is too, where we run into all this time at OMB hearings. You have planner against planner, lawyer against lawyer. Now you've got engineer versus engineer. I'm not about to say that Tatum is correct or that RHH is correct. Do we need a third engineer? I don't know. But I'm just saying don't go by one engineer.
Okay.
So I think we have to investigate, certainly.
But
right now
no
it's sitting as our policy. And I've been interested in what Tatum said, but we haven't seen that as this council.
Okay.
Previous council passed on September 28th. So that's the policy that's referenced here, that's all. It's in the books as the policy.
Okay. But there is a need at least to examine it and decide if updates to the policy are required.
I watched the whole process and how it was decided, and that was a little frightening to say the least, all the different ins and outs, all the things that took place there, and then coming down to a final vote. And it was even left over a few months, I think, before the finals, the third reading was given.
Was.
And that's why I have hesitation at this point to open it up again for a discussion. As to say, this resolution, you're right, is based on that policy that exists. Now, if you're about to say that the policy is insufficient, then that's another whole matter that we'll have to investigate. But
I will say at a minimum that the policy requires an examination of the letters from legal counsel and from the engineer of record, which I believe the Tatum is. I mean, I don't know, Greg, if you agree with that. I don't know if that's, I'm no engineer and what have you. I'm not saying that. I'm just simply saying that their reporting letter tells us that we should be changing that table, which is in the Lord's policy. I don't have that policy in front of me at the moment. It's pretty straightforward. I mean, they simply point out what we said and what they think it should say. But I mean, all of these arrows and all these text boxes that are on here point out those changes or potential updates. I'm not trying to say they're not telling us what to do, but they're saying here's what you should have in the document, and they're the engineer. So if we're going to refer to an engineering standard, I'd like it to actually be supported by what the engineer has written and said.
Which engineer?
Tatum Engineering.
That's my question.
Yeah, again,
because you have the RHH study.
I do.
For the other roads that were done.
Yeah.
And it's pretty close to what's in that policy. So I'm just not sure. And I have, you keep saying that the word should. That's rather, I mean, are they suggesting that those figures are incorrect and that theirs are correct? I'd be very interested to hear that from an engineer. I think ultimately what it boils down to, we take the advice of the professionals, and council has the final decision on it based on what the professionals tell us. But if you're telling us one professional is saying that another professional is incorrect, then we may have a problem.
In my opinion, the Schedule A...
In my opinion? Okay, that's a little different.
All right. They point out those idiosyncrasies. This document that they're commenting on is the policy as it stands, and here are the recommendations. In particular, these recommendations, in my opinion, hold water. Notwithstanding that, these are about the road standards. If we don't have the road standards properly stated in our Schedule A, do you agree? I know it's an assumption that you'd have to agree that, you know, that we don't have them, but Tatum is saying we don't have them. At the very least, we need to examine it and decide, do we need to make those changes? Otherwise, we're going forward with a document. We've received professional advice that says you should change this way. And many of the, not the policy itself that they've restated, but their comments are, we suggest, here, give me a second, I'll find it exactly, recommended inserting the following. Right? This is about the road standards, and then they quote the standards that should be there. My opinion is, I mean, I'm no expert on roads or just about any of these things, but I believe that they are, and I believe they're qualified to comment on that. And at a minimum, we needed to go through the document that they provided to us and say, do we agree with those statements, and should we make those amendments?
So you've got the history here. Where did this policy come from? Who actually came up with these figures in our policy? Obviously, it wasn't Tatum. Who was it?
Do you want me to use a name?
You're part of the history, so you're telling us that person may be incorrect. So sure, you can decide whether you want to use a name or not. But
it was a previous counselor on this council. It's not here anymore. If you want me to, I'll name him. It's Reg Moore. There's no doubt.
And where did that come from? Where did his evidence come from? His figures?
He took them from earlier versions of the roads policy. That's my understanding. I think we'd have to ask him that question, and I can't answer how he did that, but there was things in there that I objected to at the time. Nevertheless, that's what went forward. That's what got approved by council.
And what came through, I just followed it through the history here. I wasn't part of it, but I thought somebody else also came up with there were different versions of this road policy.
There was.
The one was early one, and then it was actually upgraded, the way I interpret it, by someone else on staff. Can you give us a little history there, too? Who else had come up with a more detailed...
There are elements of the changes over time that I was not party to. I only joined council in October of 21, and there was a copy that I believe was where... I've been